Welcome to the Bethel Church Podcast. Each week you'll be able to check in for our messages from Sunday and other material. We hope that our messages encourage you in your walk in daily faith with Jesus. Make sure to check out our website, bethelstratford.org.
Happy New Year. I hope everyone had a great holiday, and we're kicking off the new year, and we're jumping into a series that we're calling Soul Food. We're talking about soul food, and we're talking about feeding our soul. Anybody ever come home from work or from school, and when you get home from school, you're hoping that supper is already made? Anybody? Few people. You ever get home? I see a bunch of people with their hands down. Maybe you live by yourself and you just wish somebody miraculously left you something in the oven that's all cooked and ready. But how many of you, so when you get home and all of a sudden it's not ready, you're a little bit like, oh no. And how many of you, whether you have to cook it yourself or whether you're waiting for it to be finished, how many of you start snacking? Anybody start snacking? It's okay. It's confession time. It's all right. This is where it's safe place to be like, I start snacking. I start literally cooking food and eating other food at the same time. Yes. Now, anybody have the same situation as me? Is as you're eating and you're waiting for it to be done, all of a sudden it's done and you sit down to eat and you realize, I don't know if I can eat this food. I'm kind of full. And the dilemma is, at that moment, most of us, if we're honest, maybe some of you, but the majority of you, if you're honest, we don't snack on healthy things. Most of us aren't going, oh, sweet, there's broccoli. Some of you are, and that's great, that's fantastic. But most of us don't. And then what happens is by the time we come to a spot to eat, we've already filled ourselves with stuff, but it's not healthy stuff. It's not good for us. And so many times as we go to begin a new year, we need to reset to make sure that we're ready to consume healthy things for our soul. So as you know, we're starting off 21 days of prayer and fasting beginning today. And as you came in, if you came in the main doors, you would have seen a table by the office and it has a whole bunch of books there and titles on paper with QR codes. I just want to clarify that it's not a free grab table. What it is, it's books from all of the staff's personal libraries. So if you took a book already going, this is fantastic, if you could just put it back on your way out, that would be incredible. But the QR codes are there so you can scan it, and we have directed you right to, I think majority of it is on Amazon, and so you can find it and you can get it. There is a couple books that we have there that we realize we have some in our office. We have extra ones, or we have some that we've done in the past, and so we will have them out next week for you to purchase, or you can stop by the office. And that's the devotional for drawing circles. And then there is another book there actually by Peter Cusick, who's coming to do the Soul Care Retreat. And it's called Teach Us How to Pray. And it walks you through daily devotions and prayer times. And so I want to encourage you that if you haven't already signed up for 21 days of prayer and fasting to do that, go to our website, or you can scan the QR code that's on the screen right now and you can register for it. Now I understand that many times we see in scripture, don't tell people that you're fasting, cover yourself in oil so people can't tell. This is not for you to put up there and for everybody to go, oh, this is what they're fasting. I'm letting you know, the only person who sees what you're fasting is me. I want a list of who is fasting so that I can pray for each and every one of you daily. So I'm going to print the list off, I'm going to keep it with me, and I'm going to pray for you daily. So it's not, and I'm also not going to email you or call you and say, hey, did you miss lunch today? I want you to know it's not a checkup, it's a prayer of encouragement, okay? And so I want you to do that. Please register for that and also register for the Soul Care Retreat happening this weekend. We're kicking off this series and we're starting with the sermon called, What Are You Hungry For? What are you hungry for? And in this series, we're going to look at the verse, Psalms 63, verse 5. And here's what it says. I obviously flicked that the wrong way. I apologize, John. My soul will be satisfied as with the riches of food. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. We need to be only satisfied with the riches of foods. See, fasting isn't just a time of denying ourselves. It's not just about denying ourselves. It's not about something about giving up and just giving something up for the month. It's about replacing it. It's about replacing it. We replace it with things that might feed us and feed our soul. See, fasting, it quiets our flesh so that we can hear the voice of God with our soul and our spirit. See, John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. Jesus tells us himself that he is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. So many of us, what's happened in our lives when we get saved, we get filled with Jesus, we get filled with the Holy Spirit, and we begin our life with God. And what happens is the less that we consume of God, so a lot of us, we start off and we're solid in our faith and we begin to consume the Word of God. And then what happens as we consume the Word of God, different things in our lives happen. We get busy. We get busy. And as we get busy, spending time with the Lord, consuming the bread of life becomes less important. And so what happens is what used to fill you, like a loaf of bread would fill you, a bread of life, it would fill you. Take a loaf. And then you would get down to a few slices. And all of a sudden what happens is you don't realize, but now you're consuming crumbs and feeling full. But yet not as strong. And so what we need to do in our lives is begin to expand our spiritual stomach and begin to consume more of God to a point where our hunger desires more, craves more. See, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. And this is one of the first statements that Jesus uses when he says, I am. Which it solidifies his nature as fully God and fully man. I am the bread of life. Describes the way we find full satisfaction in and through Christ alone. See, God, Jesus, is telling humanity that he is the one who will satisfy the soul. But why does he use bread? See, Jewish leaders also refer to bread or manna as spiritual food. So people yearn for the heavenly bread, and as rabbis reinterpret this as bread to mean the wisdom or life-sustaining presence of God. See, manna was a miraculous bread given to the Israelites as they traveled through the desert. They complained, they got out of Egypt, and they began to complain because they didn't have enough food, and so God miraculously gives them manna. But the interesting thing is, he gave them just enough for that day. And for so many of them, like us, who didn't trust God for tomorrow, if they took extra, it was just rotten and spoiled. They had to learn to trust God for today. For today. You know how many of us lose sleep, lose hope in God because of tomorrow? Because of tomorrow. And how many things that we worry about actually never happened? We lose sleep, but it never comes to pass. It never happens. It doesn't occur the way we thought it would. Jesus, he overturns the traditional Jewish belief by referring to himself as the bread of life. See, what you have to realize is the day before Jesus said this is when he fed the 5,000 with just loaves and fishes. And see, what didn't happen prior, since the day that God provided manna in the desert. The next time that God miraculously feeds everybody, it's through Jesus. You have to understand the power, the understanding that Jesus is the bread of life, that his word made flesh satisfy the needs of our souls. It satisfies us deep. So are we hungry for a heavenly bread that will satisfy our souls? The first point this morning is just simply feeding your soul. So many of us, we're so great at feeding our flesh. Some of us better than others, especially over Christmas. And now we have to get to a point where we have to decide, am I going to feed my soul? Deuteronomy 31, verse 20, it says, when I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised on oath to their forefathers, and when they eat their fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and breaking my covenant. Isn't it amazing? The Israelites, who were given manna every day so that they could survive, the moment they got into the promised land, the moment you get to your destiny, the moment you get your prayers answered, and all of a sudden you can do it on your own with less stress, maybe less prayer, less dependence on God, what does God say is going to happen? You're going to turn away. And you're going to begin to worship other gods. We're going to worship other gods. See, when we fast, we make the decision that we will not snack before the big meal. We're not going to cheat our souls on other things. We're going to only feed on Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 8, verse 3, it says, he humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. God needs to teach us so many things because we actually don't have others to teach us. We don't have others that necessarily have gone before us. Now, as we started to talk about prayer and fasting, I had somebody in the church come to me, and they had a vision. And what they saw was generations prior to us praying and worshiping as we worshiped. And see, here's what we have to understand as a church. We've been a church for over 100 years. We've been a church for over 110 years. This didn't start with you or me. I was stopped at the door this morning talking to somebody who greets you every week. And with tears, they just said, every time I see this room feel full, it just moves me. And we just talked about the humility that comes with it. We stand on shoulders of people many of you don't even know. Some of them might even be sitting beside you. Some of them are still in this room. Some of them are in the throne room of Jesus right now in heaven. And they took time and they prayed and they fasted so you could be here today. So my question is, are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to look at Bethel, not for yourself, but for a generation you'll never meet. I believe we're called as a church to do ministry, to do Sunday mornings, to do weekly ministries, to impact our community, not for us. But that so one other pastor can stand up here and talk to a congregation and declare that we're over 200 years old. And that we're still impacting this community. We're still impacting this surrounding area for the name of Jesus. Now, I know many of you are like, well, I believe Jesus will come back by before then. Possibly. Possibly. But I'm letting you know that if he's coming back before then, it should spur us on more to share the gospel. It shouldn't actually make us go, let's pray and prepare. It should make us pray and go. Because that's what Jesus Christ told us to do. See, what we have to realize is the Israelites got impatient. They wanted food. They didn't trust God. They started to complain, and God gave them manna. But what we have to understand is us, just like them, we were not created to get all of our needs met by natural means alone. You're not supposed to fill your life with just natural things. If that's what you're doing, the dissatisfaction that you feel, the emptiness that you're feeling, the thing that you're searching for still is Jesus Christ. Natural things like food are meant to take care of our natural beings. But our spiritual being, our spiritual man, is to be fed on supernatural things, supernatural by God. So what do I mean by this? How many here do you have a comfort food? Anybody? I know we're touching on stuff. You're like, this is a new year. We're supposed to have hope, Chad. Don't talk about the past. Let it go. How many, who here has a comfort food? Here knows what your comfort food is. If you don't know what your comfort food is, ask your friend. My comfort food is Doritos. Just for the record, anytime I share with people, like, hey, this is my comfort food, I shouldn't eat this as much, many people drop Doritos off in my office. Stop causing a brother to stumble. I'm not looking for Doritos. Please don't bring them. But here is my problem with Doritos. And can I have some true honesty in the room? I need you to tell me that I am not alone, okay? When I am depressed, when I'm sad, when I've had a hard day, I want Doritos. Anybody with me? Maybe it's not Doritos, but it's comfort food. Anybody? Okay. Here is my problem. When I'm excited, it's been a great day, I want to celebrate, I want Doritos. Anybody else your comfort food on both sides? So I said, okay, thank you. I just feel better this morning. See, we use food to calm our nerves. We use them as a source of joy. It escapes pressures. It escapes problems. See, Jesus never intended or wanted us to use food in this way. Food was made for our body, not for our soul. It wasn't meant for our emotions. It wasn't meant for our will. It wasn't meant for our mind. So what is supposed to feed our soul? If you're taking notes, please write these verses down. Psalms 23, 1 to 3, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul." He restores my soul. Romans 15, verse 13, it says, "May the Lord of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." He can't fill us with joy and peace if we don't trust in him. So that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we prayed for this year for hope, and what we need is the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's scriptural. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 4 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion." Some of you, I think, just need to hear that word this morning, that you serve a God of compassion. He has compassion for you. He cares for you. He loves you. And the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. See, God wants to restore us. He wants to fill us with joy, peace, hope, and power in the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to do this year. That's what he wants to do today. He wants you to leave here with more joy, with peace, and hope, and he wants to fill you with power. He is a Father of compassion and a God of comfort. And the amazing thing is, hear this, please, he comforts you in all of your trouble, all of it. Doesn't matter if you got yourself into it or it happened to you. He comforts you in it. He hasn't walked away. There's nothing you have done this year, nothing you've done in the past that he doesn't want to forgive and embrace you and restore you to him. So are we feeding our souls? And to feed our souls, what we have to really do is identify our idols. You need to identify your idols. You and I, we need to identify our idols. See, as we prepared for this message, we talked about, like, do we call this idols? Do we say identifying our idols? Should we say identifying our distractions? Because see, as Christians, so many of us feel more comfortable if I say, what distracts you from spending time with God? See, distraction is such a nice word. It's the same as so many of us as Christians, we say, well, I just made a couple mistakes today. How many of us love to call our sins mistakes? It just sounds nicer. When what we have to realize is, no, we sinned. And maybe things started out as a distraction, but have they progressed to an idol? Have they progressed to an idol? See, if we feed on other things, not only will we not have a hunger or a passion for God, but we substitute it for him. We fill ourselves on it. Why does God take this so seriously in Scripture? We see it say that he's a jealous God. Well, do you realize that Satan lifted himself up in heaven to be worshiped. And because of that, he was cast out of heaven. When Jesus was in the wilderness, he tempted him, saying that he would give him the kingdom of this world if Jesus would just bow down and worship him. See, here's a simple fact. I don't believe any of you have an altar in your house where you worship Satan. I don't believe that. But I do believe that Satan will use other things to draw us away from God, and he will be just as satisfied. If he can keep you busy enough not to be able to spend time with God, he's happy. Do you know why so many people that live common law, they're not married and they live together, and then all of a sudden they get married and they're like, man, we've never had so many difficulties. It was easier when we weren't married. Because Satan was thrilled. They were living in sin, so he was not going to say anything. He's not going to torment them. He's not going to bug them. And then the moment we come into alignment with God, the enemy comes at us. The moment we come into alignment with what God has for our lives, the enemy will come at you. How do I know this? Here's how I know. There are many days that I can wake up in the morning, I can have a couple cups of coffee, and I will not eat until supper time. And I won't feel hungry all day long. I don't think it's healthy, but I do it. The moment I decide that I'm going to fast breakfast or lunch, which I do 90% of the time just out of habit, but I don't fast, I just miss it. I feel like my body is eating itself from the inside. The moment I wake up. This is how we know that it's a spiritual battle. So what is our idols? See, Matthew 4, verse 10 says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." This is what Jesus says to Satan when Satan tempts him. He says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve him only." This needs to be our response. This needs to be your response. Every day. Every day. Because so for so many of us who struggle with spending time with the Father, and we say, "It was just too busy today," we have to confess what we find time for. What we find time for. Many of us don't miss the news. Many of us don't miss our favorite TV show, even with the writer's strike and nothing new on TV. We find other shows. We see repeats. So what we have to own is we're not too busy. Maybe we're not distracted. Maybe we have idols. See, the message here, worship the Lord your God and serve him only, the message captures the heart that Jesus meant by serve him only. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. In other words, don't worship God as well as anything else. That's why we said it this morning, when we seek God with all of our heart, we will find him. Do you seek with all of your heart? 2 Kings 17, verse 41, "Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols." They were serving their idols. How many Sundays do we come in and do we worship the Lord? And during the service, we check our watch to see if we're going to get out on time. And for what? For a lunch? For a football game? For a baseball game? For a golf match? For what? I don't think any of those things are wrong. But anything before God is wrong. See, this verse, "Even while these people were worshiping the Lord, they were serving their idols." It's an instructive. He's not just saying you should serve God. He's saying you can't worship God and something or someone else. See, what we have to realize is in their days, their idols literally had demons behind it. They had sin behind it. But what we have to understand is so do ours. They weren't just pieces of rock or wood that somebody carved. There was more to them. See, Deuteronomy 32, verse 16 and 17 says, "They made him jealous with their foreign gods and angered him with their detestable idols. They sacrificed to demons, which are not God, gods they had not known." See, behind these idols were demons drawing away the worship that belongs solely to God. And what we have to understand is that behind our idols, there lies the same demons drawing us away to worship and not worship the only true God. You only have to watch some TV, see some of the music videos that are coming out and seeing things, and they're not even hiding anymore. The demonic. We can't say, oh, I listen to this music, but it doesn't bother me. We can't say that. Hollywood isn't even hiding it. There's demonic images. There's demonic things happening right in front of us. Yet because we are not filled with the Spirit, we're not able to discern it. Because we're used to eating breadcrumbs and feeling full. And if I'm full on breadcrumbs, then my body is feeding on a whole pile of other garbage. And what we have to realize is when we do that, it's spiritually adultery. Ezekiel 23, verse 37 says, they committed adultery with their idols. See, we can't serve both our idols and Jesus. And what you have to realize is why we do these things, whether consciously or unconsciously, we're being drawn away. And their whole idea is to steal your love and devotion for the bread of life. That's their desire. Remember what Jesus said, that he came to give us life and life to the fullest. But what did he say? The thief comes to what? Lie, steal, kill, and destroy. That is what he wants to do. That is his goal. That is his mission. He wants nothing more than 2024 to be the worst year that you have. He wants to destroy your marriage, destroy your relationships. He wants to kill you. And he wants to kill your love for Jesus. And the only way that we counteract that is by denying our flesh and allowing our spirit to rise up. We need to be spiritually stronger. But so many of us are shocked that when we eat one salad, that it hasn't changed our life yet. If we go to the gym once a week, why we're still not healthy? But see, many of us, when I say that, we immediately go, well, Chad, that makes no sense. Then why do we believe that coming here once a week to hear the Word of God and to feed on the Word of God once a week is going to make you spiritually strong if we know it doesn't do anything physically? We need to learn to feed ourselves, to exercise ourselves spiritually. We cannot serve both idols and Jesus. So how do we break these illegitimate idols? You know, before that, do you understand why in so many places of poverty and persecution, when we think third world countries, why the church grows so fast and why the miraculous signs happen? Because they have fewer idols to distract them. I know of many people that pray for healing and they go into third world countries, when they go into other countries and they pray for healing, they see miraculous things happen all the time. And when they get to North America, it's like it can barely move. And here is what they believe. When they pray in those countries, those people know, God, if you don't do this, I don't know what's going to happen. Do you know how many people I pray with for healing? And when I go to pray, I'm like, can I pray for your healing? And they're like, yeah, go ahead, but I got a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Hear me. I believe God has put doctors in our lives for good reason. But don't ever depend on them over Jesus Christ. Too often have we seen people diagnosed or told that, hey, this is terminal, this is what's going to happen, and God intervenes, and then doctors go, oh, we might have got it wrong. Sure you did. Jesus first. I've heard North American Christians, when I tell this story of how it happens more in third world countries, this is their response. Well, yeah, that's because they have no other choice. Right. They have no other choice. Your choice should be Jesus Christ. Him alone. So how do we break these? We need to create a new hunger. You and I need to create a new hunger. So how do we do this? Well, first, you need to search your heart. The best way to search your heart is to pray this verse. Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24, and it says this. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. I've been praying for a few months because I knew ahead of time before you guys what to fast for the 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'm not going to tell you what I'm doing, but I will tell you that so many things came to my mind. And I was like, oh, I'm going to fast this. God, would you like me to fast this? And I heard, no. Well, God, I'll fast this. You want me to fast this? No. I was getting very frustrated because if I'm transparent to you, it was up until last night that I had no idea what I was fasting. Because I really do believe, and I'm going to talk about it in a couple seconds, and when we fast, we're supposed to supplement. It's not just missing out on something. So my go-to a lot of times is, God, you want me to fast something? I'll fast coffee. I'll fast caffeine. And here's what I realized. Drink my 2 or 3 cups of coffee in the morning while I read my devotions. So if I stop drinking coffee, it's not going to change any devotion time with God. So I felt like he said to me, Chad, I actually don't care. What I want is more of your heart and more of your time. And so he told me, I won't tell you because I don't believe we're supposed to do that. Maybe what you're fasting, you fasted because you just thought of it and it was easy. Some of you, maybe it's very hard. I'm not being judgmental. What I'm wanting you to hear is you might need to pray this prayer. It took me 3 months. Maybe God spoke to you quicker. God bless you. That's amazing. The other part is this. The second thing you might have to do is actually repent. Jeremiah 3, verse 14, it says, return, faithless people, declares the Lord, I am your husband. When he shows you something that you have before him, you need to repent of it. It's not just maybe fasting it, it could be repenting. See, what you have to understand is when we look at this, when we look at prayer and fasting, what we're looking for is that thing that comes before Jesus. I want you to envision something as you come into the house of the Lord and you want to spend time with God. I want you to envision with me for a moment that tonight I go home, or after this service, I go home to be with my family. And I walk into the house, and Melissa and the kids are there, and I walk in with a girlfriend. And I say to Melissa, no, don't worry about it. I spend a little bit of time with her, but I want to spend more time with you. And we'll all just get along. Just to be clear, I don't have a girlfriend. Actually, I do. Her name is Melissa. Too often, we try to date other things while wanting a relationship with Jesus. And here's the difference for 2024. You have an opportunity to start differently. You have an opportunity to start and begin differently by putting Jesus back on the throne. So we're going to ask God, we're going to ask him to search our heart, then we're going to repent. Well, that's what we have to do. When he tells you what to fast, you have to realize he's telling you that because it's something that you have put before him. It's not just, oh, okay, I'll fast that. It's, God, I am so sorry that this is more important in my life than you. Even if you don't feel like it is, if he's told you, it probably is. Lord, forgive me and help me do this fast. That's it. And he forgives. The third thing, you need to fast. You need to fast. Joel 2:12, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Fast whatever God tells you to fast from, whether it's food or something else, but ask him to reveal to you how long he wants you to fast it for. Well, Chad, I thought you said it was 21 days. That's what I'm asking you. What is God asking you? See, here's the difference, and this is what you have to realize. Many of us, when we think of fasting, we think of Lent. Fasting is not Lent. Lent's coming up. Lent is just when you give something up for a time period. Fasting is when we give something up, but we supplement that time with God. So what does that look like? If you're going to fast supper, all right? If you've decided on Tuesdays, or maybe it's every day you're going to fast lunch, but if it's Tuesdays, you're going to fast supper, here's what you have to realize. Let's say it takes you 30 minutes to prep supper, okay? You'll find out my math is equal numbers, so the math is easily done. So if it takes you longer, do your own math. Let's say it takes you 30 minutes to prep supper. It takes you 20 minutes to eat it, 10 minutes to clean it up. That is 60 minutes. So that's not 60 minutes just to sit at the table with your family and suffer. That's 60 minutes that you're going to spend with Jesus. You're going to spend reading the Word of God. You're going to spend praying. You're going to spend some time in silence so he can speak to you. This is fasting. So whatever you decide to give up, so if you decide, I'm going to fast social media. I'm going to fast social media. For many of you in this room, every time you go to the washroom, you should be reading the scriptures. Every time you pull your phone out because there's a lineup or it's dead air and you go like this and open your phone. See, here's what you should have. This is what should happen if you're fasting social media. Your screen time shouldn't change. If you read scripture on an app on your phone, your screen time shouldn't change. The amount of time you spend on apps should change. Many of you will be like, oh man, my screen time's down. Then your paper time better be way up. We supplement. This is a fast. This is what it means. And I'm just clarifying because some people, I think it's just, oh, I'm just going to do this and I'll just do other things. This is what a fast is. I just want to educate. I want to teach. So here's the reality when you fast. When you're hungry, you eat. You feed on the Word of God, the bread of life. Fasting is not about not eating. It's about eating the right thing. Otherwise, you're just going to survive your fast. But you don't want to survive. You want to strengthen through it. So it's not about stopping. It's about filling. And so I thought today, as we step into a fast together, the best thing that we could do is to break bread together. So if you have your communion, if you will grab it with me. If you don't have it, we do have some people walking around. Just give us a little wave. As the communion is being passed, I'm just going to read the scripture of which we reference. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul writes and he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then and eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." So let's just take a moment, and just as we read that scripture, ask the Lord to search your heart. And if he tells you something, just ask for forgiveness, and he's good to forgive. Can we stand together as we take communion together, just in honor of the body of Christ? So Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the bread together. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake of the cup together. Father, I just thank you for your body that was broken for us. Thank you, Jesus, for laying down your life to restore us in a relationship with you that, Father, we broke, but we could never pay. And Lord, as we step into this 21-day of prayer and fasting, give us strength, give us peace. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to discern and show us what is it that we need to pray and fast, Lord? What is it that we have just before you? Lord, I don't believe anyone in this room consciously puts an idol before you. But Lord, subconsciously we've done it. And so, Holy Spirit, will you just gently show us and help us? And Lord, I'm so thankful that you're so gracious to forgive. And so, Lord, as we step into this time of prayer and fasting, give us strength and perseverance. Lord, help us to give, help us with discipline, Lord. And Father, open our hearts and our ears to hear from you in such a sweet, new way. In Jesus' name, amen. If the prayer team's in the room, will you just come and join me at the front? I want to remind you that if you haven't yet registered for the 21-day of prayer and fasting or the Soul Care Retreat, please do that. It's going to be a great time together. I actually, if you have your phones with you, the QR code is going to be on the screen, and you can have both the Soul Care Retreat and the 21 days of prayer and fasting that you can register for. I want to pray over you, and I truly believe that this can be a new year for all of us. Now it's really just into our hands for us to follow. And so before we go, let's just close in prayer. Father, I thank you. Lord, I pray for this year that it's a new year, that, Lord, you will give us faith to believe for new things, that, Lord, you are going to open up new paths. You are going to open up pathways and water, Lord God. You're going to create a new harvest in so many people's lives, that, Lord, you're going to give us strength, and, Lord, there's a new hope for 24. Father, I pray for a fresh passion and let it start in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Go and receive prayer.
Thanks for checking out this week's message, Bethel Church Podcast. We hope that it's blessed you and encouraged you, and that you come back and check out next week's message as well.